when we can improve sleep, we really can kind of level the playing field. And so for all those reasons, it is a really exciting place to be.
Okay, wake up out there, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about sleep. This is Kim Marshall, your host for the Global Wellness Summit podcast and the co-founder of Swell Public Relations. I'm so excited. You know, we spend a third of our life asleep, or so they say we should. So we all share this destination. But lately, what has been happening in sleep is an obsession with it. Turns out that the Global Wellness Summit in 2019 named one of their trends, Focus Shifts from Sleep to True Circadian Health. And they named sleep a $432 billion marketplace from all their research. And they talked about things like being obsessed with smartwatches, Oura rings, sleep tonics, CBD, sleep ice cream, nap pods, what else? Robots that cuddle us and control our breathing, pricey sleep supplement subscription plans, even turning our bedrooms into sleep shrines, and also some couples getting sleep divorces. So this episode runs the gamut. We talk to people in the material sciences industry and the mattress industry, but you know what? We have to start with facts and research and science. So we are so tickled to death to have Dr. Rebecca Robbins with us. But let me tell everybody, before she starts sharing facts with us, you know, when you think of a researcher, you really do sort of think of someone with a lab coat, thick glasses, maybe balding, but you have to see Rebecca. She's blonde, blue-eyed. You know, she doesn't fit the image, but once she talks, you know you're with the right person. Dr. Rebecca Robbins is an instructor in medicine at Harvard Medical School, poor thing, only Harvard, and an associate scientist at the Brigham Women's Hospital, and she's written books about sleep, and you might have seen her in the New York Times and Prevention Magazine, maybe on the Today Show. So Rebecca gets around. Rebecca, welcome to the Global Wellness Summit podcast.
Kim, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You should see too, she's got lots of books. She's sitting in the library. So my goal is to read that many one day. But anyway, you know, Dr. Robbins, and we have to call you Dr. Robbins, right? Because women with PhDs deserve their title, right?
Please call me whatever you prefer. Rebecca's fine as well.
Okay, Rebecca, now tell me why you think the world is so obsessed with sleep right now. How come?
Well, for so long there's this tremendous interest in health and wellness, you know, expanded so much so in the past several decades, which is overwhelmingly positive. And it seems as though the population knows a lot about nutrition and a lot about exercise, and sleep is almost kind of the last frontier in some ways. But the dirty secret is when we can prioritize sleep and get a good night's rest, that really virtually everything else falls in line. So I like to joke it's a gateway drug to other health behaviors. But there are a lot of us that struggle with sleep. And so your question about, you know, why this interest, you know, why this growing market? And essentially, for some people who are really struggling, the promise of a good night's sleep is, you know, the holy grail. And so the shelves are really stocked with products and gadgets and elixirs that offer the promise of good night's sleep. And so while that's a really exciting indicator that there's growing interest and awareness about sleep, the secret is a lot of the most important things, you know, you and I can do starting tonight with a little bit of motivation, because with sleep, small changes go a long way.
Well, before we get into your tips, because I know you have some really great ones and things that kind of made me say, well, really? Can you tell us, just make us understand how important sleep is? What are some of the contraindications or the negative things that can help if you don't get good sleep?
Well, good sleep has a couple components. So we often think about duration, getting enough sleep. And that is absolutely critical. And for the vast majority of adults, that's between 7 and 8 hours of sleep at night, although there are some individual differences. In addition to getting enough sleep, we also need consistent sleep schedules. So a consistent rhythm and schedule will allow our bodies to provide our circadian rhythm. I love that you brought that a really important aspect of sleep health up, which is this consistency aspect. Because you and I are, we're creatures of habit, and the circadian rhythm refers to really any process that happens in the brain or in the body over a 24-hour period in a relatively cyclical fashion. So sleep is, of course, one such circadian rhythm. It ebbs and flows over a typical 24-hour day. Mm-hmm. And everything we do over the course of the day, our exposure to light, that could be bright blue devices, it could be the sun, but our exposure to light, our exercise, our nutrition, these are all inputs to our rhythm. And by scheduling those things, having consistent meal times, making time for exercise, making that consistent, and keeping our sleep times consistent, these are all inputs to that circadian aspect of our sleep. And so when we're operating, keeping a bedtime and a rising time that are somewhat consistent, we can really reach one of those, we can really be in sync with our circadian rhythm. So we have this aspect of getting enough sleep, consistent sleep. And when you're meeting those two criteria, and the third thing is the absence of sleep disorders, I will say, and we can touch on that in a moment. But those three key things, when those are in place, there are so many positive outcomes. But unfortunately, for many, many millions of Americans and across the globe, those aspects are not there. We're either cutting our sleep short or keeping inconsistent sleep schedules. And among those populations, chronic short sleepers and those who are really flip-flopping their schedule, keeping an inconsistent sleep routine, unfortunately, we see lots of health risks start to spike. And you and I know all too well the consequences the next day of short sleep. You don't feel great, you're moody, you're anxious, you're irritable. But then in the longer term, cutting our sleep short or inconsistent sleep schedules, unfortunately, are associated with increased risk of hypertension, cardiovascular disease, a host of other chronic conditions. And really fascinating research is also uncovering the link between sleep health each and every night and our ability to stave off things like longer-term neurocognitive decline.
Oh, boy. So even Alzheimer's and things like that. One thing I read in research in your work was the connection between high blood pressure and lack of sleep. That's terrifying because that leads to heart disease, right?
Indeed. And our blood pressure also operates on a circadian rhythm. It ebbs and flows over the 24-hour day. And one of the key things that happens during sleep is a dip in blood pressure. And so we need to give ourselves that full 7 to 8 hour window and keep a consistent schedule to really optimize that dipping in blood pressure so that we can wake up and then operate at a normal blood pressure. So that if you're cutting your sleep short, you're not getting that vital dipping so that you're able to wake up and return to homeostasis. So yes, we do see, unfortunately, short sleepers are much higher risk for hypertension and then cardiovascular disease.
Also depression, weight gain, or probably because weight gain causes depression, but because you're just not, what we like to say is defragging your computer, right? Because what kind of things happen in the brain when you're sleeping?
It's a perfect analogy. When our head hits the pillow, it's really a myth that we're dead to the world and we're asleep and it's a very passive process. But all evidence points to the contrary, that the sleeping brain is, at points over the course of the night, actually more active than it is during the day.
Wow.
So there's a lot of activity that's going on in the brain and the body during sleep. So cognitively, one of the really cool things that happens is sufficient sleep is associated with memory, so that if you're not sleeping well, you're much more likely to be more forgetful, to forget where your keys are or, smaller things or larger things. So memory is a really critical part, sleep plays a really critical part in our ability to remember and create connections from things that we learned over the course of the day and then apply them the next day. Now, in addition, this is really exciting new research, and that is this area of sleep and Alzheimer's disease and dementia. And what that area of the literature is showing is that each and every night, the time that we spend sleeping, and therefore the time that we're not awake, is a really valuable, when we're awake, we're accumulating neurocognitive toxins in the brain. And those toxins contribute to our risk for Alzheimer's disease and related dementia in the longer term. So at night, this sleep episode curtails that flow of toxins. And so that curtailment each night is absolutely vital to keep those toxins at bay and our brain health operating at its maximum capacity.
I just wanted to say what you're saying is so exciting, that it really turns on its head that sort of young attitude towards sleep. Like, if I could just take a pill and, I have so much to do, why would I, I could sleep when I'm dead. How would you say that we should really shake those attitudes right off?
Oh, they, unfortunately, we still live in a society where that kind of the bragging rights of sleep deprivation are, you know, a thing to behold. But I think that's starting to change. There are, you know, a couple promising indicators. You know, frankly, the interest in sleep wearables and sleep tracking is, you know, frankly, a really positive sign of the population. But overall, essentially, sleep deprivation is a torture. It's a torture device in some areas of the world. It is associated with such a host of adverse outcomes and consequences. But the other thing is healthy sleep is up against some steep competition. So we have all of these amazing technologies at our fingertips. We can watch shows into the wee hours of the morning and, you know, one episode finishes and then the next one starts before you can get up from the couch. And so it really does take willpower to say, no, I'm going to prioritize my sleep. But when we can get people to make just a few small changes, and the changes, you know, the results of the changes can be so profound. And, you know, if it's just, if you're not sleeping, you know, say 7 hours, if you're getting less than that, and we're able to increase your sleep duration to the 7 to 8 hour window, I mean, that can be such a home run, because then people really can realize and come to us and say, you know, I've really never known truly what it's like to be awake before, because I just thought that everyone was sleep deprived.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, my husband, I always teased him. I didn't get married till I was 40 for the first time. And it was so funny because I always said, you worship sleep. I mean, he had to sleep in like a black cave. If there's just one sliver of light coming in, forget it. And now I've found over the years that I'm getting more like him. Like, this is delicious.
I see what he was talking about.
What did you say, Rebecca, yesterday? So many of our listeners, I betcha, sleep with their pooches. Because I don't know why, it's just like a habit and they cuddle so nice and they want to, a lot of them. What did you say about the sort of little bit of thing to be aware of with that habit?
Great question. And now I don't know if we have data at the population level that could estimate the prevalence with which we're sleeping with our pets, but I would be surprised if it's quite a high number.
I think it is.
Pets are wonderful. I love animals. We have a dog. I know you do too, Kim. You know, essentially they are wonderful companions and just delightful. But what these animals do, and dogs and many other animals as well, essentially they're polyphasic sleepers, which means that they sleep in many, many different bouts over the course of the day. So you and I are the exact opposite. We're monophasic sleepers, where we, you know, have one consolidated sleep episode and we go down and we enter and re-enter all of these different stages of sleep, each marked with a different benefit for our waking success. And our brains are also larger than a dog's, and we really benefit. We see, you know, optimal health and well-being among humans when we keep that monophasic sleep schedule. But with dogs, as you can probably tell me, Kim, also a dog can go from seemingly, you know, the deepest sleep to barking at the FedEx guy. So they can jump out of sleep at the drop of a hat. And for all of those reasons, the polyphasic nature of their sleep, the lighter nature of their sleep, they are likely not going to have a consolidated period of sleep at night. So while I love dogs and animals, I would strongly encourage you, Kim, if they're disrupting your sleep, if you find that they're up and moving around, because they probably are, again, they're not getting the same long bout of sleep that you and I need.
Well, so I think when we first talked, I told you my Australian Shepherd, yeah, she can sleep on the floor, no problem. But our little poodle Shih Tzu crazy dog, she really, I think, is a monophasic sleeper, because I have to wake her up like, get up. Okay. All right. Now, enough of my pooches. But one thing that you really touched me, Rebecca, was your writings about sleep inequality and your motivation to really help people. So can we speak to that for a minute? What do you mean by that?
Oh, that's really kind. So essentially, one of the unfortunate aspects of sleep is we do see that sleep is very patterned across socioeconomic lines. So sleep in some way is kind of consolidated among those who are, you know, of privilege of means, and those who live in lower income areas where there is perhaps crime or loud noise or lots of light on the street, for instance, that would seep through your bedroom window. And if you're in an urban environment, again, noise across the evening that might potentially keep you from falling asleep. And then, of course, there are additional worries in the lower socioeconomic bracket of providing for your family, paychecks, et cetera, which are just insurmountable, you know, when you try to think about relaxing and unwinding at night. So for a lot of these reasons, a lot of our research is focused on designing behavioral interventions to promote awareness about sleep hygiene and sleep disorders among these groups in an effort to improve the chances for what we like to call sleep health equity. So spreading the benefits of sleep across the population so that it's not just consolidated among those of means.
Oh my goodness, I love that. You know, when I saw the National Guard being asked to sleep on the floor of the Capitol. I mean, do you know how hard a marble floor is? And the older you get, kids somehow don't mind sleeping on the floor, but I just kept thinking that is so sad. But thank you for working on that. And I think it would be really appropriate to say what drew you to sleep research, Rebecca? What made you do that for a living?
Well, sleep is a really exciting field, whereas other areas of medicine are much more established and have been around for decades and decades. Sleep is a relatively new field. We discovered rapid eye movement sleep about 60 years ago, and that's not that long ago. And so,
60, is that right?
Correct. And so, with that being said, there's so much new information every, it seems, day being published on the topic of sleep, which makes it a really exciting field to be in kind of as a scientist and a researcher. But in addition, what is so cool about sleep is, kind of to our earlier conversation, if you can improve awareness about sleep hygiene, some of the strategies that we've been talking about, then so many other positive things happen. Your mood improves, your productivity the next day at work, how you treat your spouse, your children, your loved ones. There's so many positive outcomes of sleep. And it's a tremendous equalizer in that sense also, although there are barriers that we just talked about in some of the lower socioeconomic groups in our society. When we can improve sleep, we really can kind of level the playing field. And so for all those reasons, it is a really exciting place to be.
So I think it's time for some of your tips that we should all get our pens out. Say I'm tossing and turning and I've tried everything and I promise to put my phone down. What would you say to do?
So great question. A couple of the top kind of contenders when it comes to sleep difficulties, if we were to characterize them, you just hit the nail on the head for one of the big ones, which is tossing and turning and particularly having a hard time falling asleep. So you have a bedtime in mind, you crawl into the sheets, turn off the lights, close your eyes, and sleep's just, it's not coming. So that's that difficulty with sleep onset, we say. Here's what you do. Essentially, one of the worst things, actually, although it seems like it's a good idea to stay in bed and will yourself to sleep, but the best strategy in those scenarios is you find 30, maybe 40 minutes passing and you haven't fallen asleep. That is exactly the time, or when your brain, that thought, Kim, that comes to mind, you're like, oh, it's not happening again, not again.
Oh yeah, that's a terrible thought. Yeah, terrible.
As soon as that comes to your mind, that is when you get out of bed and you change the environment. So go sit in an armchair next to your bed or on the floor, do some meditations, mindfulness exercises, and come back. Here's the thing. Come back when you're tired, because what we want to do is we really want to reset. And so kind of getting rid of that stress that you had just built up by not being able to fall asleep. And then when you're tired, you've built up the kind of sleepiness pressure that will allow you to go back into bed and slip into sleep. So if you're tossing and turning, try to change the environment. Again, something mindless. I like to joke, your spouse will love you. Go fold socks. Put away the dishes. Do anything but, hop on your iPhone or your smartphone or turn on bright lights.
Yeah, don't go to blue light. You also said try a few yoga poses. I saw.
That's another great strategy. So if you're, meditation on the floor or in down dog, up dog, a couple kind of rounds of vinyasa would be a terrific other thing to do. Nothing too crazy. You don't want to do, somersaults while trying to get back to sleep. But that is a great strategy if you're having trouble falling asleep. But that all of those strategies can also be useful if you find yourself struggling to get back to sleep after having woken up in the middle of the night. And that's another one of our top contenders for sleep disturbance. And essentially, for a number of reasons, perhaps to use the bathroom, your room's too hot, and if temperature is another, we can talk about that in just a moment. But if you do find yourself in any of those scenarios, waking up and struggling to fall back asleep, go back to that playbook that we just talked through of meditation, getting out of the bedroom, you know, sitting on the floor, and really trying to reset your brain so that you're, you know, able to go back to sleep and fall back asleep quickly.
One thing I've found to be so helpful to a couple of things, because I am part of the 3 a.m. club. I'll just doing, and then I'm like, crap, because I do not want to be awake, but here I am. So we always sleep with the sliding door open. We, you know, it's the second floor, and have fresh air coming in. I also thought, you know, what about reading a real book with a little light that isn't blue? Because at least it's not electronic coming at you. What else would you say if you're a 3 a.m. eyeball opener?
And that is, again, one of the top contenders for, you know, sleep disturbance. And so in those, reading an actual book is a wonderful idea. I commend you, Kim, but do keep the lights low is the only other piece of advice to keep in mind. And then any of the other things that we've talked about. So getting up, maybe some, you know, gentle yoga, some meditation. Another thing that I do hear quite frequently is waking up and having a busy mind and just thoughts racing. And so if that's you or any of the listeners, keep a journal or a notepad next to your nightstand and just write down anything that comes to mind, whether it's, you know, oh, I have to take the, you know, get the dry cleaning. I have to, you know, schedule this, you know, run that errand, do that. There's nothing you can do about any of those things at night. And so by just the act of writing them down, gets them out of your brain where they're bouncing around and onto essentially, you know, what can be your to-do list the next day.
Well, I also, I love that dreams, that's a whole nother topic, of course, but dreams are really a resorting, a refiling of what you've thought about that day has been my conclusion. I don't know what yours is, but I learned to really welcome dreams. Like, that was cool. I'm glad that was sorted out.
I love that. I'm certainly not an expert on dream research, and it is a really interesting field. And there's been some fascinating work from some of my colleagues here at Harvard Medical School on dreaming during COVID-19 and some of the dreams kind of helping individuals, you know, realize that they may have some mental health concerns to seek treatment for. So it's a really interesting area of the research, but I love your comments. I always recommend that, you know, have fun with your dreams. Never, you know, worry too much about them unless they're stressful or, you know, anxiety inducing, in which case you might want to speak to a healthcare provider. But generally, dream interpretation, there's no hard science around this. So it really is up to the, you know, eye of the dreamer, so to speak, in the eye of the beholder. And having fun with it. And I will say, dreaming is really a muscle. So if you have someone in your life that you can talk to about your dreams, so you get up, you talk to your spouse, we actually find that individuals are better at recalling dreams if they're in a kind of scenario where they can talk about them, interestingly.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Well, the yin of the inequality sleep yang is your recent study on hotels and sleep. Can you share with us some of those findings?
Oh, with pleasure. We published a paper where we are summarizing some data we collected from frequent hotel travelers. And we found in this sample of about 600 frequent travelers, both traveling for business and leisure, we found, without a shadow of a doubt, after controlling for a number of potential confounders, we found that sleep during your hotel stay was a significant predictor of your likelihood to return to the hotel and your enjoyment of the trip itself. And when you think about it, you know, we all are craving travel right now as, you know, in our COVID-19 era. But I really do think, and, you know, as we all kind of, you know, hopefully are vaccinated and go back to our prior, you know, ability to travel and move about and, you know, visit new places, that the wellness focus in hospitality has been so profound for so many years, but sleep is really, you know, ironic, something that of course you do in a hotel, but hasn't really been a main focus for many, many hotels or
isn't that ironic? I mean, you would think that is why you want to go to a hotel to have a place to sleep, but I guess they've been focusing on all the other bells and whistles instead of the, you know, the bread and butter of what a hotel experience really is, right?
Making it fabulous, you know, a place where you really feel, you know, cozy and at ease and able to get a great night's sleep that will power your, not only your trip, or if it's a business trip, your meetings, but also, of course, your leisure trips as well.
Well, I understand now. We will cut to the second part of our episode where we speak with Francisco Levine, and Allison Howland. Francisco is part of the team launching Bright Beds, which is a high-tech bed, and he'll tell us all about it. It's crazy that you can take your bed with you because you put the code in, and if the hotel has the same kind of bed, it'll adjust to exactly what you prefer. Very exciting. And then Allison Howland has created Nola Pelli sheets that are material science-based that help you have better outcomes from your sleep. But you three were on a panel, right, with Tammy Pale, our good friend from Carillon, Miami. What was the purpose of the panel at the Global Wellness Summit on sleep? Do you remember?
We had a great opportunity to speak about, I spoke a little bit about sleep and that study that we just talked about on hotel travelers and sleep quality and the link between the stay, the hotel and your, the sleep in your hotel stay, excuse me, and your likelihood to return to the property. So I shared some of the results that we just spoke through. And then Allison shared a little bit about her her company and Francisco about Bright. And indeed, I believe the Carillon was also focused as a there to talk about what they're doing to improve the guest sleep experience.
Yeah, Tammy was saying, as the head of wellness for the resort in Miami there, that they just are embracing sleep and they're going to use Bright Beds. They're going to be at one of the test sites for Bright Beds, offering it to their luxury traveler guests. So this is really exciting. I mean, we're covering the gamut. And Rebecca, we can't thank you enough. I have a little birdie told me that we might be able to see you on Live with Kelly and Ryan soon. So we'll be cheering you along because you heard it from us first. Dr. Robin shared her tips with us. So we wish you continued success. Please continue to help people with all your findings. We'll be cheering you on, okay?
Oh, thank you, Kim, for inviting me. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Excuse me, sir. Could you tell me your name and title?
Mark Faulkner, CEO of Vireo Systems.
Okay, Mark Faulkner. I don't care if you're CEO of Vireo Systems. You're my new friend. Why? Because I have the cutest neighbors, children. They're British and Italian mixed, and one's 2 and one's 6. And they're at my house with my dogs all the time. And I met their grandma, and I just thought, what a cute British grandma. Yeah. I didn't even know she worked. I thought she was retired. I don't even care. And I was getting ready to come here, and my beloved podcast for GWS. And at the last minute, we found out that our sponsors pulled out because they had VC funding trouble. And I was like, what? And it was such a shock. I went to the pool and I'm trying to be nice and I'm sitting there and some kind of like somebody hit me with a stun gun. And Jane, Grandma Jane, who's so cute and blonde and adorable, said, "What is wrong with you?" Because I was so mouthy. I said, "Oh, we lost our sponsor." She goes, "What? What do you need? What is it for? What's the podcast about?" I might know somebody. I thought, "Oh, that's cute." And then I learned that she owns the biggest pet snack food company?
Salmon Snacks, called Sniff Snacks.
Snacks.
Great snacks for dogs.
And she said, "Kim, I have a friend and there's no trade shows this year. And I'm sure he's looking to spread the word." I'm like, "Well, what's the name of the company?" And I look it up. What do you have? Tell us everything that's in Vireo Systems. And then I meet you, we fall in love on the phone, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
So let's go to Vireo Systems. Just tell the people that are listening, what is it? I have stuff right here in my hand. But
yeah, certainly. Well, first of all, Vireo is a Latin word for health. And that's kind of a guiding principle of everything we do. It's holistic products for people and pets. And it covers a wide range of product categories, everything from feminine health and feminine hygiene to pain management to consumer products like laundry detergent. We have sports nutrition products. We've got, as I indicated, animal health products. And we've got immune support products, too, for supporting other general health conditions. So,
okay, so let's start with the most important thing, your pet supplements.
Yes.
What's the story of them?
They come from a research project that we were doing actually in sports nutrition, and we were studying a peptide that, frankly, we were hoping would help performance enhancement with athletes. And the molecule that we were working with failed at that. It didn't work. We had hypothesized that it might, but it didn't. And we, however, found that there were interesting side effects from it. The athletes, even though they didn't say they ran faster or jumped higher, they're like, "You know, I noticed my knee wasn't hurting me, or my back wasn't sore, or my shoulder wasn't aching anymore." And so we shifted our research and started studying it as an anti-inflammatory or a pain reliever for people who are very active and what we call activity-induced or exercise-induced inflammation.
Right.
And we went and did dog studies to show that it was safe and show that it was efficacious for older kind of creaky dogs that are running around.
What gave you that idea?
It was just part of the safety studies for the FDA. And the veterinarians that were involved in the study said, this stuff is incredible. You need to make this product, not just in terms of research for humans, you need to make this product for dogs and for cats that are older and where their activity is causes them to limp and be kind of
arthritic
creaky
and all. Yeah.
And so we did that, and it has given real holistic options to otherwise pharmaceutical treatments for an older dog's
so
pain.
Supplements for pooches and kitties. And yeah. What do you call those?
Canine active and feline active.
Well, that's pretty clear. Good morning, everyone. It's day two at the Global Wellness Summit 2020. At the Breakers Palm Beach, the hybrid, groundbreaking summit where the courageous come together with masks on. And in our case, we have a UV light cleanser cleaning our room. We're at a table 12 feet apart, and we wear masks whenever we're not eating. So good morning. I have with us Allison Howland. Did I say that right?
Howard.
Howard. Because we work with Allison Howland, and she lives in Florida, so you're confusing me. And then we have San Francisco at the very end. So we're talking about sleep this morning, which is fitting, completely fitting, because none of us got enough. We are examples of what we're talking about. Why did I wake up at 3 and not go to bed till 4:30? I don't know. How about you guys? How many hours of sleep do you think? Francisco, how many did you?
Last night?
Yeah.
About 5.5.
5.5. Allison?
I would say also 5-ish.
Yeah. So we are living examples of what we're talking about. So you guys are going to love this because we're talking about what Fast Company called a $70 billion sleep market. And yesterday at the Global Wellness Summit, they released the mental wellness market study. And they talked about another sleep and sleep spaces being worth about $60 billion because we're all yearning, just like us, for a good snooze. So, Allison is with Nola Pelli Linens, and she's going to tell us why they're so special. And Francisco represents Bright Beds, which has something to do with the cloud. So, just because ladies need time to wake up in the morning, I'll start with Francisco. Francisco!
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us what Bright Beds is and what does it have to do with the cloud?
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be here. And the Bright Restorative Bed is the first bed that is purposely designed to optimize your restorative sleep. And it does so by combining the latest sleep science with the latest available technology. In a nutshell, that's what we do. And we're also here because it helps solve not a global, you know, epidemic, not only the global epidemic issue around sleep, but also it helps hotels solve a fundamental problem when it comes to offering a sleep experience, which is you are offering each guest is unique. Every one of us is unique when it comes to sleep and sleep preferences. And now the Bright Beds allows to personalize each sleeper side of the bed to their most comfortable and desired temperature and firmness.
Okay, so since we know that a third of Americans experience brief stretches of insomnia and a tenth experience 3 sleepless nights a week, and studies show that sleeplessness is responsible for about $63 billion in lost productivity in the U.S. This is about money. But why, Francisco, are you any different than Sleep by Number, the Sleep by Number mattress, which has taken the world by storm?
Sleep Number. Yeah,
Sleep Number.
So we believe that we have created something very special in terms of not only solving and building an amazing, comfortable, luxury bed that you can personalize and dynamically adjust temperature and firmness, and can also read your sleep, understand your sleep and your sleep phases. But it also, the bed has the ability to connect to the cloud that you were asking, mm-hmm. and then learn from that information, from your sleep performance, and actually send feedback to the bed to readjust so that you optimize your restorative sleep. And the more you sleep in the bed and the more people sleep in this bed, the more the bed can learn through algorithms to what is the best setting overnight, through the night, to optimize sleep. So it's an artificial intelligent, you know, machine learning device that the more people sleep, the better it gets to solve the problem that you were referring.
So what you're saying is when I realize I'm going to go to a hotel with a bright bed, I can cue in my ID, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
The bed will download what Kim Marshall prefers. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That's another very cool application, which it's particularly of interest for hotels too, which is, as you say, if I go to a hotel and I configure the bed, the next time I come back to the hotel, I can just use my username and password, and it will pull up the history and the configuration. And if you decide to take part of that hotel experience home and you buy the bed for your home and the bed continues to learn about your sleep preferences, then the next time you come back, you can very easily travel with your bed.
So you don't have to pack it, but it's waiting for you in the cloud.
Oh, yeah.
I see. So yesterday when we talked about the mental wellness new bubble and the global wellness economy, what is so crazy is this topic of sleep is so powerful. The three of us sitting here are examples of it because, like, we can't remember our names, whatever. But if we don't get about 7 hours of sleep a night, the Center for Disease Control says it increases our risk of obesity, diabetes. Sometimes it can trigger mental illnesses, depression, ADHD, anxiety. And it even says suicide. Okay, that's scary. We all, you know, break our patterns sometimes. But this topic is worth paying attention to. And I love aligning it with hospitality because in the end, the bottom line of what hospitality is getting heads in beds.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a reason why the sleep discussion has taken such a relevant share in the Global Wellness Summit. It's because sleep is the foundation of wellness. Mm-hmm. Because it's during sleep and it's different sleep phases where the body and the mind restore and recovers and rebuilds the immune system.
Please don't make me feel bad. Okay, great. No, we're going to rally.
So, and that is also why Alison and I, we are launching this summit, a sleep care initiative that will carry through the year with the Global Wellness Institute.
Shut up!
To bring experts and people around and continue to provide more insights and learnings around sleep and hospitality. And as you said, also the one common thing of all kinds of hotels and the core business of hotels is sleep. And we also believe that this is something that in the hospitality industry, and me being a hotelier for my previous
life,
10 years, we have overlooked to some degree. We haven't put that much effort into working and solving and improving the sleep of our guests across the board of the hospitality industry. Of course, there are some brands that have done a great job.
Like Westin. The
like
Heavenly
Westin,
Bed. They
yes.
sort of started the conversation, didn't
yes.
they?
And, yeah. and some great brands like Six Senses will have, you know, great sleep programs. But in general, if you look across the average, you know, hospitality experience, hotel experience, you will see that we haven't really invested and given the attention it deserves. So that's the opportunity. Today we have enough science, we have enough technology, and we have a large, you know, epidemic. And an industry that needs to improve and is striving to personalize and improve service. And this is a great way to do so because studies show that the sleep experience is the key driver for satisfaction and one of the most desired and most important needs that guests want solved when they come to a hotel.
Yeah. And mental wellness, it's so crazy because the truth is, you know, people grind their teeth when they don't even know it when they're sleeping. But through the pandemic, it's really been about anxiety, right? And boinging open in the middle of the night. I read an article, but why is 3 a.m. the golden hour for just waking up? Okay, we want to hear your founder story, but let's, speaking of founders, Allison, could you tell us about Nolapelli and why you designed it? I love women-founded companies. So please tell us.
Well, thank you so much, Kim. I am so excited to be here and talk with you this morning. So I started Nolapelli as a frustrated consumer, quite frankly. I was tired of waking up in the morning and looking in the mirror and feeling like I looked slept on, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't really feel refreshed or look refreshed. And that caused me to want to learn more about, first of all, what happens to your body while you sleep. And second of all, the properties of the fabrics that we are intimately up next to for hopefully a third of our day. And so what I learned is that during sleep, your body releases moisture. Common bedding fabrics like cotton love moisture. So cotton is going to absorb that moisture from your body and hold on to it. And that creates a surface that sticks to your skin and pulls on it.
Oh, God.
So if you've ever woken up and seen those lines on your face,
I didn't know this would be a discussion about me, Francisco. This is what's upsetting. Go ahead.
It can break your hair. There's a lot of damage to your hair. And it can even disrupt your sleep. And so again, as a consumer, that just didn't sound very appealing to me. And as I looked out into the bedding industry to see what other types of fabrics were available, there really wasn't much. Material innovation hasn't really happened in bedding up to this point.
Well, that brings me to, now, how the heck do you know anything? What did I read your bio? Are you a chemical engineer?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, help me. Go ahead.
Right. So my prior life was in the chemical industry, in a material science company, starting in R&D, working with all different types of polymers and specialty materials. And so that was my background. And so, you know, while I hadn't specifically worked with textiles, I knew a lot about materials and quickly surrounded myself by experts who knew things that I didn't. My first advisor was a former R&D director from Estee Lauder, who had spent his entire career studying the interface between skin and creams.
Oh, okay.
And so we just, you know, very easily translated his learnings to the interface between skin and fabric.
Hmm.
And so started making different fabric prototypes and testing those and ultimately came up with the patent-pending fabric that is Nolapelli bedding.
And so I see that it's made from 65% naturally derived tencel, which always has appealed to me. I don't know why, even the name. 35% synthetic yarns, nylon, and a dual face construction. Now Break that down. What does that mean?
Yeah. So again, Nolapelli fabric is 65% natural and 35% synthetic. So we've used a unique combination of yarns and a unique construction to create a fabric that works with your body while you sleep. So the surface that's in contact with your skin is designed to stay cool and dry, and your skin will slide across it and not stick to it. But the underside is going to take any excess moisture and quickly dissipate it.
So, you know, you're a chemical engineer. And when the greenies, which I have been accused of belonging to, often talk, they'll go, chemicals, ew, ew. And then you think, wait, you know, life is made up of chemicals. There's a chemical. So defend the chemical side or the synthetic side.
Yeah. So versus 100% cotton, our fabric is more durable. So it's going to last longer. It's more breathable. It dries faster. So it uses less energy. It wrinkles less. So really lots of benefits from a sustainability standpoint versus 100% natural
fabric.
Oh,
I see what you're saying. Yeah. To save the energy. But in the end, humans are supposed to use advances in science to benefit their lives. So this is a defense, right?
Absolutely.
But also, let's talk a second about direct-to-consumer. I mean, I heard a New York Times podcast, because I love podcasts, and it was about the fashion industry and how since the pandemic especially, everyone's just getting slammed with Instagram, you know, images. You look up one thing, like I look up masks for this event, and I mean, I get so many mask things now. But the sheet industry, Boll & Branch, Parachute. Give me some other ones. Brooklinen. What do you have that they don't have?
So all of those companies are selling basically the same product. They are all selling 100% cotton bedding. They put fancy marketing behind it. They make beautiful images. They're creating a lifestyle.
Oh, the Parachute lifestyle I'd like to live. I need it. But go ahead. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're all basically selling the same thing.
Cotton, huh?
Right. It's all 100% cotton. And, you know, that's been the bedding that we've slept on for generations. You can buy it at Target. You can buy it from Boll & Branch. But at the end of the day, the properties of that fabric are all the same.
Okay. So you are from Pittsburgh. Is that right?
Yes,
I'm from Ohio, but I never tell anybody. So let's just keep that between us. Pittsburgh is a stunning place. Nobody knows how cool it is there. A livable city, as they say, right? So tell us how you came up, because it sounds like you're from New Orleans, Nola Pelli. So how'd you come up with the name for the company?
Yeah, honestly, Kim, naming was really a big challenge, right? To find a name that fit the vision and the brand, and quite frankly, a name that was available.
Yeah, I know.
These days, you know, every name is already taken. And so we invested a tremendous amount of time and energy and every creative person I knew around a table with wine and whiteboards.
That always works. Mm-hmm. Wine and whiteboard. In fact, our company is called Swell Public Relations. And we realized we're so happy that we could take the name because we weren't a water bottle. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
We wouldn't be competing.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway. Yeah. So we ultimately uncovered the word Nola Pelli. It's the Finnish word for love.
Aww.
So we liked that connection with love. We've talked a lot about love here yesterday at the summit in the breakout in the afternoon.
Yep.
And the Latin word for skin is pellis.
Mm-hmm.
And so to us, Nola Pelli is a nice play on love your skin.
You look Finnish. I know you're not, but I will say to you that it is nice to be international. And to you, because Francisco is from Chile. So we have to be. So, my husband's from Cuba. So let's just embrace the planet anyway.
Right. So we liked the way Nola Pelli sounds, to your point. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a brand that you might want to be associated with. Mm-hmm. It has that higher end connotation.
Sounds Italian too.
Italian. It does. It's a balanced word. So at Nola Pelli, we talk a lot about balancing moisture, temperature, and friction. And so Nola Pelli
has to balance
two sets of double L's. I have two double L's in my name.
See?
And quite frankly, it was available. So we were able to get nolapelli.com. We were able to get Nola Pelli on all of the social channels.
Well, congrats. It's so hard. It's so hard to get a name. Now, one thing I read on your website that I was so jealous about is that you got chosen for the South by Southwest pitch competition.
What the hell?
That's so cool.
I did. Yes. In March of 2020, I was the only company from Pittsburgh and one of just a small handful of companies that were chosen for the honor of pitching at South by Southwest.
That's a snobby event. It's hard to get in.
It would have been my first time. Unfortunately, it was canceled 1 week before.
Yeah.
So that was a big bummer.
Because 2020. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, tomorrow's another day. But now, we hear that she was a chemical engineer. Was that because your dad was a chemical engineer? Why did you decide?
I just always liked chemistry and math in school.
Oh,
and
my God.
When I started,
I'm not having lunch with her, Francisco. That's it.
In college, when I started to think more about, okay, what do I actually want to major in and learned more about chemistry, I really couldn't envision myself in a lab, in a job, you know, spending my whole job in a lab. And to me, that's kind of what chemists ended up doing. And so when I learned about chemical engineering, it was a practical application of chemistry. So thinking about processes and making something from start to finish, that was much more exciting to me than working in a lab.
And do chemical engineers ever study sustainability? Is that part of it?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, see, people don't know that. So that's 100%. Really cool. So you're aware of the big picture. That makes me feel a little better. Okay, and all right, I see that you do, why laundry detergent?
Well, it's interesting because since we make holistic products and all of our ingredients are healthy, they're innovative, we thought, okay, we have to follow the good FDA required GMP, good manufacturing practices, and then we have certifications that actually exceed that really to the highest level called HACCP and SQF. And we have to clean everything really well in between batches. And SQF stands for safe quality foods. So we ensure the safety, and we wanted our cleaners to be holistic. So we, because otherwise lots of chemicals are used in the sanitation process. Well, we developed some holistic cleaners, and we had some of the team start using them as cleaners at home and as laundry detergent, soap and things. And they're like, oh my gosh, this stuff is incredible.
Where have you been all my life? Jane, Grandma Pretty Blonde, Grandma Jane said, I was somewhere with a white dress on. I spilled wine. And Mark said, oh, use this, use this. And she goes, it just disappeared. And I'm looking at it. It says, sans laundry detergent outperforms other detergents, safe for all ages, free of chemicals, superior in the sanitizing. It's like, what?
Yeah, it is completely hypoallergenic and biodegradable, and it has outperformed the major brands in third-party consumer product testing. And I'll tell you, especially for people that are active, and of course here at the Global Wellness Summit, everyone talks about moving and being active and having exercise as a part of your life. And the performance apparel holds odor after a while, and nothing removes the stink out of performance apparel better than Sands. It's a terrific laundry detergent.
My business partner in Swell, Darlene, her son is a football player, so she's going to want to know this.
Oh, absolutely. We have a lot of wrestling moms, hockey moms, football moms, and folks that swear by it as getting their stinky teenage kids' smells out
smelling
of their stuff.
Better.
Yeah.
Now, Mark, before I forget, we have to, and we'll come back to all the products, and we're going to end with my favorite immune support that I took this morning. Mm-hmm. But tell us your origin story. Why are you so comfortable in a lab?
Well, so I'll try to do a Reader's Digest version of this, but my degree was in physics and in the sciences, and I focused the early part of my career on all sorts of things involving biochemistry and toxicology. But I found that I wasn't as at home. I loved the lab, but I wasn't fully at home in the lab because I love people and I love to get out and I love to interact with folks. So,
but you were doing drug testing.
This was even before that.
Oh.
I got out into the business of science. And so the application of science has always intrigued me. I've always loved it. I've always been pretty good at it. But I fell in love with the business of science. And so myself and another guy started a forensic toxicology laboratory. And that original team developed the steroid testing program for the NFL. And we began doing football testing across the country, including the major collegiate conferences and member institutions and things, as well as a variety of other professional and amateur athletic organizations. And one thing that I heard repeatedly as we were doing that performance enhancement testing was that the athletes said, okay, we can't take steroids anymore. We understand that. But, you know, I'm in the equivalent of multiple car wrecks every weekend, and I need to have something that helps me get up and do my job the next week because this is how I feed my family. And so if steroids are deemed unsafe, unhealthy, illegal, find us something that's safe, healthy, and legal that will help us do our jobs. And I remembered that conversation for years. And after I sold out of the forensic tox laboratory, that's when Vireo came about. Started Vireo as an organization to just do research on peptides and amino acids and things to try to find something that would answer that need in the sports nutrition world. And we did a lot of research. We did it, gosh, for a half a dozen years before we ever sold a product or anything.
Francisco, we need to hear your origin story. How did Bright Bed start and how did they find you or vice versa?
Yes. So this is a Silicon Valley company.
Oh.
Although we are scattered all over the US, but it was founded by three entrepreneurs. JT has been a longtime entrepreneur, and Ely, a technologist through his life, and Jonathan, data scientists. The three of them got together after their own personal experiences in business and also around sleep. They got together and pursued their motivation to reunite humanity with natural sleep.
Hmm.
What we're trying to do here And again, this is by taking the latest sleep science. We've worked very closely with the sleep center doctors at and scientists at Berkeley and Stanford, and now
recently, good. Drop those names in America because that will help. Just always say those names.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So, for example, Dr. Matthew Walker, who's the author of the book Why We Sleep. It's a very informational, very easy to read book that you can actually get a lot out of it. So I recommend you to read that piece. He's our lead sleep advisor.
Say the name of the book again.
Why We Sleep.
Why We Sleep. Okay.
By Matthew Walker.
Listeners. Okay.
Yes. And we're also working with Dr. Rebecca Robbins, who is a researcher from the Harvard University, was kind enough to come with us to the Global Wellness Summit.
Oh, she's here. Good. Yeah.
And she's going to share her latest research around the connection between satisfaction in hotels and sleep. So she's looked at all the different elements in the guest room that and the sleep experience in a hotel that impact their sleep satisfaction of guests and how also that translates into the overall guest satisfaction. It's a very interesting piece. We will be talking about that today at lunch with Alison and Dr. Robbins. So what the founders did is taking the sleep science and the latest technology based on their experience and create this amazing bed and platform and sleep experience to help solve the sleep epidemic and the sleep issue. And the way that you can solve it is technology allows you not only to apply the sleep science into a sleep experience, but also it allows to personalize sleep. And given that, as I said earlier, we're also unique in terms of sleep, this is what the bed can do for you.
Okay, so it says that it's a breath-like motion, sort of rocks you to sleep, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'll share a little bit about the sleep experience.
Okay.
So in my personal experience, my background is hospitality. I spent the previous 10 years as the CEO of a hotel brand in South America called Aton Hotels.
A-T-O-N?
A-T-T-O-N.
Oh, okay.
That we sold to the Accor Group 2 years ago.
Okay.
And then I decided, when I moved to California, I decided I wanted to jump into technology. And of course, hospitality related, no? So I came across what JT and Ely and Jonathan had been doing, developing this bed for over 4 years. And I realized that this is how we will sleep in hotels. It's going to become the new standard for sleeping in hotels and then also at home. So it was fascinating. I had also, my struggle with sleep. So I jumped into the bright bed. I started improving my sleep. And then I decided this is what I want to do. I want to reshape the way that hotels will offer the sleep experience to the guests.
And Alison, you are partnering because you can't have a mattress without sheets, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I have a lot of questions. But one is, we just interviewed yesterday Victoria, who's in charge of the, well architecture. And we talk about the 5G and the, radioactive stuff floating around. So having a bed that's too high tech, does that pollute your brain or anything? Can you help us with that?
Yeah. Well, the way that we have designed the sleep experience, and of course we're improving every day, is that when you go to sleep, we decrease and shut down the electronic and the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth of the bed so we can minimize the radio frequency emissions.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Of course, EMF is a big trend. We see it here. Mm-hmm. There are some amazing products being shown today at the Global Wellness Pavilion. So it is definitely a concern for us and something that we have designed also the bed around it. So going to the sleep experience, you ask how it is to start asking how it is to sleep in a bright bed. Basically, you jump into the bed with the ability to personalize what kind of bed you want to jump into. So
not who's beside you, but
well, yeah. You can also personalize that.
I think we all do, but anyway.
So each bed in the hospitality setting will have a tablet on each side. It's very easy to operate and interact. It's a very easy user interface. And you can personalize if you want to start your night in a bed that is either more firm or more soft and warmer or fresher. So to accommodate, you know, for each sleeper, most desired preferences. And then the bed will help you fall asleep with this wave-like motion. It's like a body scan relaxation experience.
Oh my God.
Where it helps you fall asleep faster. And then the bed takes over because it can read and understand your sleep. And then it will guide you through the night, optimizing, and offering the best configuration to optimize restorative sleep. So, for example, it will decrease your body's temperature a couple of degrees following sleep science. This is what helps you get more deep sleep. And then it will also continuously detect pressure points through your body and release those pressure points actively through the night. You know, it can perform it can perform up to 400 adjustments to promote better circulation and keep you sleep longer.
Okay, I tonight am sleeping in the tech pavilion on the mat. Oh, you don't have one there. Oh, darn. But I'm going to do it. Now, Allison, this is a question for both of you. This is such a high-tech bed, but it's also got a really high price tag. And I need new sheets. I have a California King, so I went online. And your sheets are $325, the ones I looked at anyway. So this, for our listeners, anybody can listen to us. I always say from Tahiti to Turkey. So if you can't afford an $8,000 bed and $300 sheets, what are some tips you have to share with our listeners about getting good sleep?
So one of the most important things, and Dr. Rebecca Robbins has confirmed this, when it comes to getting good sleep is consistency. So simply being consistent with your go-to-sleep time and your wake-up time 7 days a week, not just Monday through Friday.
But not at the Global Wellness Summit. So we are in a free zone here. But
it's anyway. A little more challenging when you're traveling for business. But I think that if you're going to focus on one thing when it comes to sleep, I think consistency is key. I'll admit to not being good at it myself yet, but Dr. Rebecca Robbins and many other experts agree that consistent wake time, consistent sleep time is really critical.
And I could add some points to that.
Good.
So caffeine intake, regulating your caffeine intake, it's also a major element that is in play.
No, you can't have my caffeine. Forget it.
Well, you can have it in the morning.
Oh, okay. All right.
But not after, 3 p.m. Try that.
Okay, I'll try.
The same with alcohol.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now you're talking war. This is war language.
I know. But, sleep research suggests that you should go to the bar in the morning.
Oh, okay. We can do that, Darlene. What do you think? Okay, we'll do it.
And a couple more things. There's a lot. There's also big impact around light and difference between blue light and warm light.
So when you wake up at 3 a.m., do not look at your phone. Fight
Don't
the
ever
urge.
Do that. Don't look at your clock and don't look at your phone because your phone will shoot at your eyes the blue light, which is telling your brain that it's the day, it's the morning. So it's going to start releasing hormones to wake up.
Does everyone who's waking up at 3 a.m. like me pick up their phone?
I used to.
Try not to. Yeah. Okay.
But now I don't. And then there's also temperature. You need a fresher and colder environment for your body to sleep better.
So what do you think about fresh air? Does that come in at all? Because that's where I live. I always open the windows and doors.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. So those things are really, really useful. And when you have taken your professional lives and now melded them into launching an initiative for GWI, are you guys going to make a lot of money on that initiative? That's a joke. These are all volunteer. So Allison, what's your goal for this initiative?
Like Francisco said, Kim, I'm really excited to just raise more awareness on the importance of sleep and things that you can do to ensure quality sleep, especially if you can't get the quantity of sleep that you want. So really just pulling that expertise from around the world and bringing that more to the forefront.
Great. And how about you? Francisco, why would you like to launch this initiative?
Well, we have a common objective, Alison and I, which is, raising more awareness and being able to offer more insights and tips and solutions on how hotels can improve the sleep experience for the guests.
So we are looking forward to this because the onus is on us. You know, 125 of us have gathered here in person, hundreds virtually. And the world really is, a friend of mine who is the editor of Ageist magazine said, you know, if you're not in the wellness business now, you're not in business. So if we can't start from our foundation of sleep, where are we headed, right? Where are we going? I also just one last question. How important is social media to your companies?
Oh, for Nolapelli, it's critically important. As you mentioned, Kim, we're also building a direct-to-consumer
company. Oh, are you?
Company.
Okay, cool.
Yes, and so Instagram and Facebook and now YouTube is really important to us.
Yeah, and how about you, Francesco?
Yes, we are putting, of course, you know, all our branding is designed for consumers, but also hotels.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we are working in parallel. In one hand, offering all the information channels for consumers, but also very focused in hotels. We're working with selecting best hotels in the U.S. currently to bring the sleep experience, the bright sleep experience. We know that hospitality is going through tough times, so we actually have a program to enable at very low effort from the hotel side, the capacity to try these beds and offer the experience. So we are looking, we're handpicking hotels to help us, you know,
start
this idea of reshaping and how people will sleep and redefining the standards, what it means to sleep in luxury hospitality.
So I just want to commend you guys because one of my passions is the democratization of wellness, you know, because you're going to hear today the disparities in income levels and wellness and all that, and your zip code is more important than your genetic code. So we're going to look to leaders like you folks in the sleep world to share your knowledge so that anyone can apply it in their lives. So thank you for talking to us this morning, and I really do want to go take a nap now. So thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim. It was great to spend time with you.
You too. Well, that's a wrap for this season that was recorded at the first ever hybrid Global Wellness Summit held at the Breakers in Palm Beach, Florida. A big thanks and virtual hug to our wonderful sponsor, Vireo Systems. We've had a great time discussing a range of topics like wellness architecture, the hope of far UVC light in a COVID world, judgment-free fitness, how to build a wellness business that lasts, the delight that can be found in multi-generational wellness for women, leading with love in the workplace, mental wellness through mindfulness, and today's show, all about sleep. Don't forget, you have until April 1st to email info@Swell Public Relations and tell us what you feel is the difference between meditation and mindfulness. And you could win a gorgeous 2021 Wellness Moonshot Hanging Calendar. Stay tuned for news of our next season's launch date on the Global Wellness Summit's Instagram page. And if you enjoy these cutting-edge conversations about the world of wellness, please tell a friend to subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple, Audible, or any of their favorite podcast platforms. We want as many people as possible to be part of these educational, cutting-edge, and downright hopeful conversations. This is your host, Kim Marshall, from Swell Public Relations. We'll see you next season on the Global Wellness Summit podcast.